Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
We've never won it. Yeah, you're right. We've never won heads, that's except for Joel.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Riccadon, and with me always,
Richie Byrne.
Your producer, Soul Joel.
And we have a very special guest with us in
yes.
the studio.
One of the, someone I've probably known almost as long as anybody else in comedy, right?
Probably.
We probably met like day one.
Probably.
Like at
really?
Yeah.
Something like,
yes.
Like way back at the Eagle Tavern.
At the Eagle Tavern. That's what I was going to say,
the
man.
Eagle Tavern.
Tim Davis. Tim Tuesday
Davis,
nights.
Eddie Stanley.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Angelo, by the way. I'm Angelo Lozada.
Angelo.
I'm here
Lozada.
I'm here at this friggin' podcast.
No.
In somebody's basement.
Now,
they forgot to introduce the guest.
We're off to a great start.
But I want to talk about this because, yeah. And then we got to do our format, which yeah. we're not doing. But let's do this really quick. Back in the 80s,
yeah.
early 90s, Tim Davis, Tuesday nights.
Tim Davis, Eddie Stanley.
Eddie Stanley. You'd go to Eagle Tavern on 14th Street. Yes, on 14th Street
yeah.
in the Meatpacking District.
Yep.
And you sign up, and you get to do 5 minutes, yeah. like an open mic.
There was like you walk in, and it's a bar.
Yeah, it's a bar.
And then the room, the showroom is like in the back.
In the back.
So there's a door, it's closed, and there's a list. There's a piece of paper.
Yep.
And if you get there, sometimes there'll be like 45 fucking names on
oh,
that paper.
At like 5 p.m.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Guys would show up from work. Like, yeah. like if you drove a cab, you'd pull over, you run in yeah. at like noon and sign your name.
Yeah.
So if you got there late, if you got there at 7:30, you literally were like number 92.
Yeah.
And you had to sit through everybody's act. That was Tim's. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But what he did, and this was really cool, and they should do this now. On Thursday night,
right.
he did a special show where he would go to you and go, Thursday, June 12th is your night.
At the China Chalet.
At the, no. This
O'Neill's.
Was still at Eagle. This was still at Eagle.
Oh, at the Eagle as well.
Yeah, and then later.
Right.
But so like anybody who signed up on Tuesday got up. The thing was you couldn't leave. You had to stay. Like people who go, well, your job seems like it's
yeah.
fun. This is the shit you had to put up with.
Yeah.
So then on Thursday night, if you would book for a certain Thursday, your job was to bring an audience.
Right.
So you'd say, and I think it was 20 people, any after 20 people, and you got 10 minutes. You got a minute for every person after 20 people. That was like a big, so
yeah.
like the more people you brought, the
yeah.
more time you got,
yeah.
right? And what Tim would do was great. He'd only have like 4 or 5 people who brought comics who bring people. So then the guys who were, you knew you were getting good because you go, come in on Thursday, I'll put you up.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd give you time in front of an audience that you didn't
yeah.
know.
It was like
it was a
progression.
Cool deal.
It was,
yeah.
it was a progression. You got
yeah.
better. You're in a room. Yeah.
yeah.
A process.
Formula. Yes.
And you're in a room full of comics, right?
Yes.
So you're in a room and like, so it's Richie and David Tell, like Mike, and
yeah.
like Mike Roblet, like everybody
you never
in the room.
Knew, yeah, yeah.
And you're doing comedy in front of the hardest
those
audience. Because they're all fucking taking care of their,
yeah.
you know, they're
not even paying attention. They're yeah. all getting ready, you know. It
and
was
so
really
you,
cool.
And he was always in the back watching. And it
he
was
always in the back watching.
It was awesome, man.
It was a great way to learn. And then he did. He had China Chalet.
Yeah.
And but he used to say, go out and start your own room.
Mm-hmm.
Find a restaurant, find a bar. Start your own room. And people were. And then he said to me, you're from Staten Island. Go start a room in Staten Island. And I did. And it was just so – and guys would take the ferry over. I don't think you ever did.
I don't think so.
Guys would take the ferry over. We'd pick them up at the ferry, drive, and the place was always packed, Harbor Lights in Staten Island, Bay Street. And guys would do the show. And then we take them all back. They get on the ferry. They go back to
that's
New York.
Hilarious.
It was so cool.
That's when comedy was.
Oh, it was fun, man.
That was a whole different head.
It was fun.
I think we had you at the Copa. Didn't we have you?
With absolutely, you had me at the Copa.
We had a comedy troupe at the Copa.
I was the one
really?
White guy. Like, it was always
yeah.
all these Latinos and
yeah.
Richie Byrne.
And we like, had yeah.
the whitest guy.
We had, like, yeah, so it was a comedy troupe, like, back in 92?
Yep.
91, 92?
Yep. I saw you and Rich Ramirez
yeah.
do Who's On First
oh, wow, yeah.
in Spanish
man. Yeah.
And it was so, and I don't speak Spanish,
right.
and I laughed.
No, but you got it, right?
Oh,
because you know the bit and
dude,
the rhythm
and the
whole,
rhythm and the
yeah.
cadence, and it was
yeah,
so
yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah.
And you guys, well, We'll talk about Rich Ramirez later, but let's do this first. Here's what we do, because it's called Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Okay.
We have a drink that we discuss.
Oh.
And then, eventually
we were going to have a drink.
Eventually we will. Okay. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
And then we tell a street joke, and then we tell stories.
Okay.
So
a street joke.
I have the street joke.
Tonight, okay.
So, you know. What I had today, we were at a Duke's where we
all met. Shout out to Duke's.
Shout out to Duke's.
Shout out to Tim Davis, too. We always do a shout out.
Shout out to Tim Davis.
Yes.
When I first started at Stand Up New York, he was still.
Tim Davis, that's right.
Yeah, he was at Stand Up.
Yeah.
So today, before we came in, I had an old Kentucky mule.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he had a drink.
An old Kentucky mule is a Jim Beam bourbon. With a little bit of ginger beer and a splash of lime juice.
Was it good? It sounds refreshing.
It was great.
It's like Gatorade with a kick.
Yeah, you can drink it at the gym. It's refreshing. I like it. It was definitely worth it. It was a good drink.
Okay.
I was very happy with it.
Okay.
And now the joke.
Richie?
I have to preface the joke with a story because that's the way it works. My friend Stefan. Shout out to Stefan Tistinas, by the way, is his name.
Stefan Tistinas.
Tistinas. They call him Tits. And not because of the name. He's got some big. No. So he always has street jokes for me. They're always jokes I never heard. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he gets them. So his mom died a few weeks ago. And she was old. She had a great life. But still, his mom died. And I went to the wake. And I walk in the wake. It's very solemn. And she's in the... She's in the casket, and I go up to his wife. Hey, Richie, thank you for coming. His daughter, hey, Molly, really sorry. And all of a sudden, he turns around, he sees me, comes over, and he's real solemn. Comes over, and he walks up, and he goes, what's the opposite of Christopher Reeve?
What?
Christopher Walken.
Oh.
He said it at a funeral.
At his mother's wedding.
Oh, my God.
That shit is hilarious.
That's a great joke.
That's hilarious.
All right, so there's the joke, and now the stories.
Andrew, do you have a street joke?
I street joke. No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I don't retain. Like I'm the worst comedian when it. Yeah, like
you guys never have a story joke.
A lot of comedians.
Yeah, I can't.
Comedians either love it or hate it.
And,
yeah.
But I enjoy them though. Like I can't. I can't. I just can't. And it fucking kills me. And damn you guys for putting me in this position.
No.
There's a ton of them, but I don't remember not one.
Well, dude, I'm the same. That's why Richie has to tell.
It's funny because
I love listening.
Jokes. And I love when a comedian tells you a street joke.
Yeah.
Because they're usually so good. Like a Joe Starr. Shout out to Joe Starr.
Joe Starr.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
A shout out to Joe Starr.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When is his wake? Jesus. That fucking guy. Jesus.
That's it for us.
I love Joe Starr.
That was great.
Oh, that's my guy. Joe is.
Yeah.
One time, at Stand Up New York, where many years ago, I'm like at the bar talking to this honey, like talking to this girl. She was fine, and we was just kicking it. And I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. Here comes a savage. Joe Starr just walks by.
Savage.
And he
I love it already.
And he stops and he looks at it. It's like, yeah, watch out for this guy. He's nefarious. And he walks away.
What?
That's a great word.
He cock blocked me with vocabulary. No. I was like, who does that?
What?
He said, yo, watch out for this guy. He's nefarious. And he just kept walking. I was like, this son of a bitch.
I don't know what that means.
Nefarious is like evil. Yeah,
it's
nefarious
evil.
Is like,
it's a great word.
You know, watch it. He's nefarious.
Kevin Can Wait. He's the bar owner.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
He's got a nice role, the pizza place bar.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the good
stuff.
Yeah,
Kevin,
I love
Kevin
Joe,
put him.
Man.
Yeah, I was with him. I actually went over to Governor's to say hi to him.
Yeah.
He was playing Governor's, and he goes, "Oh, you just missed Kevin and Rock were here. You just missed them."
Oh, wow.
And he thought, he goes, "They came in, they saw me," and I go, "Oh, that's cool." He goes, "I think they're looking at me for something
for the show.
"Really?"
Yeah.
This is before the show, and then bang, they were. So
and that's one of the things about Angelo that I think is so inspiring. And he told me how he got his big break, very similar. So I don't know if you want to.
Yeah. Well, just so everybody. put in context.
Yeah, really. By the way, Joel and his segues really suck.
Jesus.
We need to get him an actual
segue. This transitions.
Like, you could go, hey, the Yankee game was great. And your mother?
How about we jump over to Queens and talk about that?
You just got back from vacation.
Yeah. I'm the warm-up comedian for The Daily Show with Trevor.
Yes.
I'm the warm-up
comedian for The Daily Show.
It's been a wonderful gig, man. I've been traveling with Trevor across the country, opening for him. The dude sells out theaters. I mean, he's just...
He's killing it.
Yeah, he's murdering it. So I was hosting... So it's just like, you know, Richie, like, we've been doing this, and Mark, we've been doing this for a really long time, and we bang our heads against the wall. We're like, when the fuck is this going to happen? Like, how many, like,
when do I get a break?
We're constantly, rejection is just a part of our being.
Absolutely.
So you have to work hard at not becoming cynical and bitter. You have to literally work at that.
And you do, though.
You know?
I don't know if you did, but there have been points in my career where I became bitter and cynical.
And I try, and it also has to do with your nature. You know what I mean? You were just a bitter kid.
Well, no.
I just don't see you not being bitter, bro. I'm being honest with you.
Look at me.
He had to look like that as a 12-year-old. He was the ugliest girl in middle school.
But you have to make a conscious decision. You got to make a conscious decision to not be that dude.
Yes. Yeah.
But sometimes it just beats you up, man.
Yes,
it does. And so it's just about opportunity and also being ready. When that opportunity comes up, you have to and you better be ready.
I got scared into the opposite of what I feel like is happening now with the younger comics.
What do you mean?
I was scared into you better be so ready that when they see you, it's just undone. So I never tried
to be better
to
or
do anything.
Oh, really?
I never tried to get into festivals. I never tried to get on late night
shows. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I know I'm going to be funnier in 6 months. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
But what he's talking about
gets
thrust upon you. Because I had it with Dr. Oz's show.
Right.
One day you get a phone call.
And you better be ready.
And you better be fucking ready.
And kill it. You know what I mean? So I'm hosting at the Gotham Comedy Club several years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. And
shout out to the Gotham Comedy
Club.
Yeah, we do that.
Before you even go further, Angelo, you and I know each other from stand-up
from Stand Up New York many
years
ago.
You are always our go-to host. You're the greatest host.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you, man.
Because you're so likable, but you're not begging for it.
Yep.
You don't,
it's a good way to put it.
You don't try to get them to like you.
Yeah.
We just like you.
No. Yeah. No.
I don't, but everybody else.
That's all right. See? Not bitter.
So you're at Gotham.
So I'm at Gotham, and Trevor Noah comes in. I didn't know him, didn't know who he was, and it was actually Sean. Sean Flynn who came over. He was a general manager and the booker. He says, give him a guest spot. A guest spot, they do 5 to 7 minutes. You know, they're not in the lineup, but, you know, it's a favor to the comic and to his people. So give him a guest spot, 5 to 7, bring him up. So I go over to him and say, what's up, Pop? You know, Trevor Noah, what do you want me to say? He said, it doesn't matter. You know, you just bring me up. But I knew Sean had mentioned to me he had just done a Letterman. So I threw that in the intro. Now, guest spots, I have respect for every comic, but guest spot, I'm not going to sit there and listen. I'm out.
Well, when you're hosting, you have other duties.
Exactly. So I bring him up, and I'm about to go out the room. I was going to do something. I forgot what. And I hear him. He starts this bit about the correlation between KFC and KKK. You know, Ku Klux Klan and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I stopped, and I looked, and I said, what the fuck is this? What's he talking about? And it was a brilliant bit. And if you ask me again, I don't retain.
Right.
But I remember
the premise specifically
was that. And I was like, dude, this was brilliant. And he hit hard. And I just sat there, and I watched his whole set. When he got off, we talked. We hit it off. And then I got a call from Sean. And he said, listen, he has a weekend now. Do you want to host it? I said, yeah, let's make it happen. The whole weekend, the dude sold out. Oh, they love him so much. And it was like 85 to 90% African. Like, because the dude is from Africa. They love him.
Was he already on Daily Show at the time?
No. This is pre-Daily Show.
Okay.
But he was a monster overseas. Like, the dude was a beast overseas.
Yeah,
he
had a big following overseas.
Huge.
He came here and everybody's like, never heard of him.
Yeah.
He must not be funny.
So, and you know, he came here and he just started from the bottom. He came here and started, not all over, but he was opening for Gabriel Iglesias for a while. And you know, then he decided to move here. And he's, again, the bottom. You know, he just worked his way through. And so he's doing this weekend at Gotham, and I'm like, who is this dude? And man, he was just smashing it. And it was a wonderful weekend. That's when he said, yo, you want to travel with me? I said, let's go. We traveled, then he got the show.
Huh.
You know, man. It was just like. And
there
he,
it is.
And he asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, which is interesting. 6 months prior to that, my man Mike Yard is on the nightly show with Larry Wilmore, right?
Yep.
And so I said, we got to go. Let's go see Mikey. Let's go see Yardy. So I take my lady. We're sitting there, and we're watching. So Kevin Bartini is warming up, right, doing his thing. You know, you warm up. He's doing it. And I look over at my lady. I said, Mommy, I will never want to do this. She said, what are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about? You'd be great at this. I'm like, I don't know. This is too much dog and pony show, bells and whistles. And it's I don't ever want to do this. Fast forward, like, hey, what's up, Daily Show? How you doing? I'm walking out with a pony. Like, it's ridiculous.
Who wants a pony? How much are you motherfuckers paying me? All right. What do you mean it's union? Yeah.
So that's another thing, man. Never say never. You know
yes.
I mean? But it was an interesting. I didn't want to do it, but it was Trevor. He's a friend, and he asked me, and I was like, he's coming in brand new. I'm gonna come in brand new, you know. And the one thing they said is like, look, this is not Caroline's. This is more Show World.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. This is like Shamu and, you know,
it's just this whole thing. I say it all the time. I go, just because you're a good comic doesn't mean you're a good warm-up.
Yeah.
It's a completely different beast, man.
Absolutely. For a lot of things that are not necessarily doing what we think of as stand-up. Because it's the same when you open for a band.
Right.
Those gigs suck. Yeah. They suck opening for a band. No, it's just different.
You're a cheerleader to the main event. But I also think that you can be a really great comedian and not have the right personality to be a warm-up guy.
Oh, exactly.
Inversely, though, by that same token, you can be because you're a great warm-up doesn't mean you're not a good comic. People look at warm-ups like, he's warming up.
Right.
Fuck you. You know what I mean? I'm warming up.
I don't know if you noticed, but that changed because now it's become the union's gotten involved.
Yeah.
So you know now you can get health. Yeah. You get a retirement. I'm vested, man.
Yeah.
I got my 5-year vestment.
Right.
You know, guys come up to me all the time. Hey, man, you know, can you get me one? And 20 years ago, I was like, can you believe that asshole's doing warm-up?
What, you know? I did stand-up New York. Everybody said, as soon as you go into cruise ships, you're retired, you're done.
Right.
Now all the comics I look up to and think are amazing are all doing ships.
Doing ships. Now,
it's your third or fourth season.
For Trevor, it's just over two. In September, it was 2 years.
2 years, okay.
So, and I never felt like I got it.
Do you feel you're a better comic since you started doing warm-up?
Absolutely
right?
Are you kidding me? Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Not afraid of a goddamn thing anymore.
And you know, also, it's like people ask me, are you tired of it? Are you bored of it? And it's impossible.
Simply because
every show is a whole different tapestry. Like, once you do the directives and you let them know what's happening and you give them the cues so they can fucking lose their minds, I go into the audience and... they're from all over the world because of him, and I just create like this new storyline.
So you don't have to worry about doing the same jokes.
As a matter of fact, you don't do material.
Right.
I don't do jokes. You know what I mean?
See, I have jokes now that are geared to Oz and to the show. That happened, which is good. You know,
yeah,
and we have
a
different setup than you guys, man. We have audience over here. So if I do too much with one person, they can't hear me.
They can't hear them.
But I'm always trying to, like, I'll always have fun. I laugh, too, because I'll have, like, the crew go, oh, you say the same thing? I'm like, yeah, I really don't. You're just not paying attention. You only hear what I say. You're hearing certain things that I do every day.
Right.
But there are other things I'm doing you're not paying attention to, you know. Yeah. But it's such a cool gig. It really is.
And you find things. You find...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
How much material can you generate from talking to all these people?
You just can. I mean, it's insane. Like stuff that, and in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna keep that if I remember it.
Anybody here got a street joke?
I'm gonna get diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and you fuckers are gonna be
now,
like, damn, he told us.
How
old was that?
Years ago.
I
should have called Dr. Oz. How long do they take to shoot? Do they shoot in time?
They do shoot in time.
Okay,
like
we don't shoot in time.
It's a gig. I'm
blessed.
Yeah. I mean, I get there at 5:30.
And now you're on tour with the dude.
And now I'm on tour with the dude, yeah. We just got back from the Dolby Theater where they shoot the Oscars.
It was spectacular. Amazing. 2 weeks ago, we were at Radio City. Did Radio City musical.
You did the Borgata.
I did.
Yeah,
I opened for Oz at Radio City. That's
did you?
Wow, yeah. Dude.
Did you hear what he's just said, though? I said, I did Radio City. He said, yeah, you did the Borgata.
Well, no.
Tell him about Valley Forge, right? You did the Valley Forge.
You did the Sugar House. No, I see the billboard, dickhead.
Yeah. You did the Valley
Sugar House. The Sugar House was so much fun.
Well, I follow you on Facebook, asshole. Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. Easy. Wow. I'm the guest.
Hey,
holy shit.
Tell him about me.
So our... tune in next week when Mark and I can't get a comedian to come in.
The fuck is this?
No, I love how you post about it. You're like, thank you. That was
fun. You know, that's always interesting because I'm, based on the post, you wouldn't think I'm a private dude. Like, it took me forever to post on Facebook. But there's so many.
I drive him crazy.
Dude, but you know what? It's interesting because the folks that folks that do follow you, they genuinely care and they genuinely have love for you. So I just once, you know, I was with Trevor, I mean, which we know we're flying and you know, I take pictures of the jet and all this other shit and people get a kick out of it. You know what I mean? So I do like the whole, I always take a picture of the theater before we go on and you know and folks follow that. And folks,
yeah,
you know, enjoy. This fucking Lionel Richie picture. I met Lionel Richie this weekend.
I know you met Lionel.
I got
we were gonna go there.
I got like a million likes on this shit.
Lionel Richie.
It's insane.
Lionel Richie, bitches.
And Christopher Lloyd, Doc from Back to the Future. A shitload of likes and just people just getting a kick out of it. You know?
And I'll be honest, here's how it works for me with social media. When I see somebody like you, somebody who I love and I've known for a while and I see success.
You see, Joel, that's how you fucking treat a guest.
Somebody who's a dickhead.
Who I love.
I love you, you dickhead.
Well done.
I get excited for you. It's like, as do I.
But as do I.
But if I didn't like you, I'd be like, what a fucking asshole.
Oh, I wouldn't follow him. Like Joe.
I love how you didn't also say it was Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
You just went, look, this dude.
Yeah.
And then everybody underneath was like taking it.
Yo! I didn't even have to say his name.
I know.
It's like, yo, this dude or whatever I posted. So I didn't even say you're right, that's a good point. I didn't even say his name.
Yeah.
And all the comments, yo, that's Doc.
It got 500 likes and then someone said,
it's Reverend
Christopher
Jim.
Lloyd. Yo, you had your flux capacitor and all types of shit.
Like, they were doing memes.
Yeah, where's the DeLorean?
Yeah, where's the DeLorean? It was iconic, man. I mean, the dude was iconic.
Well, and what's like amazing is us being comedians and working, we're like the low levels of comedy, mm-hmm. you know, the low levels of entertainment business because mm-hmm. we're running club to club and doing mm-hmm. all this little stuff. But then like they came and saw you at a theater.
Yeah.
Now, after the show, mm-hmm. they want to meet you.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can't wait to meet you. They're there's that funny
guy. And it's always flattering, but that is always a good point. That's always been the case, right? It's like when it comes to entertainment, we're like the lowest of the low on that entertainment totem pole.
But
we're the most respected.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic.
It is.
Because everyone that's above us on that totem pole, they see us and they're like, yo, I can never do what you do.
He's right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. He's
like,
right.
We're the most revered and respected.
Actors just can't get over.
We're the least paid and we're the most shitted on that totem pole. It's an interesting dynamic.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. It's
so
true.
You're up there by yourself, kind
of? The fear of it, yeah. Yeah. Every actor I've ever known or talked to is like, how do you get up there by yourself?
The trick of acting is even if you're a shy person, it's all about the other person.
Right.
So you're always putting it on them.
Right.
You're always giving them.
And you're never breaking the fourth wall.
And that's when you become a great actor is when you're giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Listening, man. Listening.
Yeah, listening.
Like comedy, amazing. It's like if you're putting it on the audience, it's a quiet show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because they can't do it.
Yeah.
They're, you know, so.
So you, but you got a street joke? Give me a street joke.
Right, you and I, and I'd be remiss before we get off the air not to talk about, we had, and you more than me, he was your mentor, I figure, right?
Yeah, he was.
There was a comic, Rich Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rich.
Yeah.
He passed.
Yes, he did.
As,
yeah, he did. And
I started to get to know him. Like, it was like, I started working the road.
And Richie was the best person I've ever met in comedy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree? He's up there
Salt.
With like this. Oh,
salt
God,
of the earth.
What a great. And I was lucky enough to meet him. He was one of the first guys I ever opened for.
Yeah.
And he couldn't have been better to me. Mm. And he was tremendous to you.
Yeah.
And he had great. And he'd be so funny. I got to tell you a story that's so weird to talk about Facebook. A few months after he died, like 2 months after he died, I got a message on Facebook from him just saying, yo, where you at? which is how he would talk, yeah. right?
Richie.
I'm like, yeah. Yo, where you at? And I'm like, what? And I wrote back, who is this? I never heard another thing.
Really?
It just popped up. Yo, where you at? And it was Rich Ramirez.
Really? That's bugged out.
Dude, it freaked me out.
That's crazy.
To this day, I don't know what it was, how it happened, but I just wrote back, who is this? And that was the last I heard. Isn't that freaky?
That's wild.
And never watching him on stage as he was getting sicker was one of the most amazing things to watch him perform, because Rich was amazing. I mean, he sang. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of energy. Yeah. He was, and as he got sicker, he had to be more.
He became brittle, man.
And watching,
it was
and
a liver
changed
transplant.
The way he changed. He had liver disease.
Oh, and so he had a liver transplant, and he lived with the liver for like 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived with the liver, but as far as that, like at one time we were in the Bronx, one of his great shows in the Bronx, he brings me up, he comes off, and when he brings me back up, I see he's limping, and I whisper to him on stage, like, what's the matter? He said, when I got off stage, I broke my foot.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? He kept breaking the same foot.
Yeah.
Because of the medications, and he just became better.
Wow.
And then
last time I saw him, in the Bronx, he had a gig in the Bronx. I'd done Oz that day. I come off, and I had my notes from Oz, and I got a paper cut, right? So I'm sitting at this restaurant in the Bronx, and he's across from me. And I went because it hurt. And I look, and he goes, what's the matter, bro? I go, I got this paper cut, man. It's killing me. And I looked up, and he was having trouble breathing. He was in a cast. He had, he was getting thinner. And I go, I got this friggin' paper cut, man. It's killing. And I start laughing. And he goes, what? I go, who am I to complain? And he goes, oh no, tell me more about your paper cut, bro.
Oh,
no. And I start, and he starts. And I,
what a tolerance.
And he had fallen and broken a rib off the stage. He fell, and. So we laughed, and he's going, bro, you killed me, bro. Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. So all of a sudden, like, we get quiet for him, and I go, you know, it really is hurting. And he just starts laughing. But he was the best, man. And I feel bad for any comedian today in today's world who doesn't have a Rich Ramirez in their life, because he was so important.
To this day, I apply, the lessons that he taught me.
Yeah. Me too.
The most professional.
Absolutely.
I make sure I'm at the gig on time.
Absolutely. A lot of what I've done in my variety show, I do the variety show at Gotham. You saw me.
Yes, yes.
I mean, a lot of the prep of I learned from watching people like Rich Ramirez, how he set up. Because he didn't just do stand-up, man. The guy could sing.
Yeah.
I saw the guy down in Atlantic City.
Wonderful
actor. I did a lot of his shows. A lot of it. He put me in a lot. He'd do like sitcoms live, like they were trying to sell them and stuff like that.
Right,
and just a tremendous guy.
That was my guy.
I know. And I know you guys were way closer than we ever would be. But we'd be remiss not to bring up. If we're going to talk about comedy, that's a guy you got to know.
Before we let you go, Angelo has been a wonderful guest.
Absolutely.
Before the show started, you told us a wonderful story about hanging out in L.A. and being at the after party, which is something that a lot of us, at least me, I don't get. You know, Richie and Mark have, but.
Another great segue. Yeah. But go ahead.
Yo, your segue sucked. Now, how do I dig out of this fucking hole? You know what I mean?
Shout out to the memory of Rich Ramirez. So I'm at a party.
Big up to me. Shout out to the shattered memory of Rich Ramirez.
You know what I
thought?
So I'm
at this
after party.
I'm drinking.
Right, I'm doing cocaine. I'm getting two blowjobs at the same time. How's that possible?
I was like,
this
was
is
like,
for you, Rich.
I had
and anyway.
I had to let him know I want to end this, but don't fix it.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what your transitions are. Yeah, I got to get this out, and he'll fucking fix it. He's a pro.
I'm no baker, but here's the ingredient.
This weekend out in L.A., the after party, there was, you know, a couple of celebrities there, and I met Lionel Richie, and we were having a great time, and... So Daniel Kaluuya walks in, and he's from the movie Get Out.
Right.
And I fell in love with the dude in Get Out. I think he's fantastic. And so as I'm talking, we're chatting it, he walks in, and in my head, I'm like, I got to work my way over to this dude. So I'm talking, I keep looking over, and then I notice he goes into the bathroom. So I said, all right, I'm keep doing what I'm doing. And then I notice the door just like hustling, like jostling. And I'm hearing doom, 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 like he's on the knob, and he can't get out. And I'm looking at it, and I can hear it from across the room, and I'm bugging out. I'm like, am I the only dude who can hear
and see this. His girlfriend, who was with him, she's standing right by the door doing nothing. I'm like, what's wrong with this broad? Like, she doesn't hear or see this. So finally, he, like, hustles the door open, and he walks out, and he's shaking his head. He's like, what the fuck? And I walk over, and I said, what happened, Papa? You couldn't get out? And he hugged me so hard, and he laughed so hard. We just shared that moment, and from then on, I know me and that guy, we're gonna be friends forever. You know?
Right.
You know, because he had just seen me on stage, and I just hit him with this, you know, this silly joke. And then as I'm hugging him, I look at his girlfriend and said, "You didn't hear that, Mama? You didn't hear him struggling?" She said, "He grown."
See, I would have said to Christopher Lloyd, like, I'm hokey doke.
Folks, that's been Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Man, this was a blast.
Thank you. Thank you, Angelo. Oh,
thank
yeah.
You much, thank you. Man. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
He grown.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.